safer sex, intercourse,
condoms, sexually transmitted infections,
HIV,
STI,
HIV,
sexual health,
research,
treatment,
condoms,
sexual attraction,
sexually transmitted infection,
contraceptive,
sex education,
sexual health
specialist.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the podcast. My name's Tom and you're listening to the Sydney Sexual Health Centre podcast where we talk about all things related to sexual health. Today is World AIDS Day 2023. To mark the occasion, I'm going to catch up with Mel.
I'm surrounded by so many men and women who are so well educated, so well equipped with tools that even I need just to go through my everyday life as well. So it's been an awesome experience.
She's a heterosexual woman living with HIV in Australia. She's a mum who works full-time and is also a board member of Positive Life New South Wales. So welcome to the podcast, Mel.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell me a bit about yourself?
Sure. You said it very perfectly. My name is Mel. I'm of African descent. I live in New South Wales. I'm a heterosexual woman and I was diagnosed with HIV about 9 years ago. I am a mum to two teenagers and I work full-time as well. And my passion is supporting especially young Black women living with HIV.
So it must keep you busy.
Yes, it does. I'm only really just at my feet in the water, but I've met a lot of lovely women, I must say African women, through Positive Life New South Wales and just women in general and people in general.
What were your perceptions about HIV before you were diagnosed?
To be honest, my perceptions of HIV was that I was probably going to have a ticket to death when I first found out I was diagnosed. I had very limited education about being HIV positive or even AIDS for that matter. So all I thought was HIV, I'm going to die. And that was because of the lack of education that I had.
And did you grow up in Parramatta or in Sydney?
I've been in Australia for 10 years, but I grew up in South Africa and also New Zealand.
And what was education like there in schools? Because I guess in South Africa, there's a higher prevalence of HIV. Like,
There sure is. You'd think I was well educated, but I left when I was quite young. And I knew about HIV very roughly, not a lot, not enough to educate myself for when I was diagnosed. In New Zealand as well, I can't say I had any education on it.
Talking about your diagnosis, what was that experience like for you?
I remember when I was diagnosed, I'll tell you a bit of a story. So I wasn't feeling well for probably a few months and thought I'd just pop down to a general GP in the city, Sydney CBD. I went in and I said, you know, I haven't been feeling well for the last couple of months. I just want to do a test because I thought maybe there's something to do with diabetes perhaps because it runs in my family or maybe just a flu. Anyway, the doctor said, we'll do a full blood count, test you for everything, your thyroid, iron and everything like that. At the end, she said, oh, well, we are doing a blood test and a urine test. Would you like me to test for HIV and tuberculosis? Do you think you may have been exposed? Me just being oblivious, I was like, no, I knew I'd had unprotected sex, but I was like, no, I don't think I was, but you know what, just chuck it in. Anyway, she called me back, this particular doctor, 3 days after and told me some of my results had come through except for one. And I was like, you know, keen to know what it was. She'd mentioned it's the HIV test. It came back inconclusive, but not to worry. This was her words, not to worry. You know, this has happened before. It might just be negative. You just never know, but don't worry. That was her words. Great, she's a doctor. I trusted her. Although I did stress, it definitely was something I worried about. This is the first time I really started thinking about, you know, oh my gosh, I slept with somebody unprotected. This could be a possibility. She called me back about maybe 3 or 4 days later at the office and they said, the doctor wants you to come in. They've got some results to go through with you. And my heart sunk, instantly thought, oh my gosh, what's going on? She had told me previously, don't worry, and everything else was negative. Fast forward, I went into the doctor's surgery. She sat me down and said, you know, went through everything, got to HIV and said, unfortunately, I'm diagnosing you with HIV. You are HIV positive. I just remember feeling numb. I do remember her saying, you know, it's not the end of the world. You'll get care. I'll pass your details on to somebody at a certain hospital, which she did, but I'll be fine. That was all she said.
Yeah.
Right? Looking back, I don't think that was a great experience. I thought it was great, but thinking about having that initial conversation, I don't think there was a lot of empathy. Mm-hmm. I also don't think there was a lot of, you know, you'll be okay, here are support groups for you. Mm-hmm. I actually had to research that myself. It was good for the doctor to say, you know, you'll be fine. But what did that mean? I didn't know what that meant. Did it mean with the limited education I had that I was going to live for a day, 2 weeks, 4 years? I didn't know that. So I wish there was a change in the way that I was told about my diagnosis.
Yeah, and it sounds like quite stressful going through the list of all the other tests.
Absolutely. It was very stressful, you know. Mm. Looking back, I think the doctor's surgery should have just called me when they had all my results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, besides that, being a bit empathetic, but just call me at the end and just tell me to come in and then give me everything, not make me feel like everything's going to be okay, only to tell me, you know, a few days later that I'm being diagnosed with HIV.
What would your advice be to healthcare workers giving that diagnosis?
Absolutely, to remember that we're still human beings. I do feel like there's other things in the world where, so for example, when I say other things, I think that if somebody had cancer, for example, there's so much empathy that comes with that. Mm. But at the minute you're diagnosed with an STD or, you know, or something like HIV, because there's so much stigma around it and it's a little bit taboo for some communities, it's like, it's your fault. I didn't ask for this. So a little bit of empathy, just like you would with any other patient, would go a long way. And after that, just besides the empathy, it's the support. So, you know, you're going to live a long life and there's so many groups that you could be a part of. That would be a great start.
You didn't get a lot of that information when you were first diagnosed.
No.
So how did you find that community or that information going
forward? Yeah, honestly, that was through word of mouth, through a friend of mine that was well connected with places like PosHit. Positive Life New South Wales, ACON and things like that. So it was through a friend, but this was many years ago. I was diagnosed 9 years ago. Mm. I only found out about the support groups about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Hmm.
And what did you do during that 5-year period?
I kept it to myself. My family knew, my really close friends.
Okay.
And this particular friend of mine that was also positive, I didn't want to actually interact with people because I thought I might bump into people from the same cultural background as me.
Mm-hmm.
And that stigma that comes with that it's massive. So yeah. I didn't really want to put myself out there. So it was just support through my specialist, my friends and my family.
You're now a member of the Positive Speakers Bureau. So this is a group that helps to reduce stigma by sharing your story.
Yes.
About being diagnosed with HIV.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get involved with that and what do you enjoy about it?
I credit Positive Life New South Wales for the person that I am today, to be very honest with you. I'm more open now about my status because it only makes up a small part of who Mel is, my HIV. So I got to know about Positive Life New South Wales through, like I said, a friend. I started dipping my feet in the water, doing some Zoom sessions, first of all, mm-hmm. behind a camera, just to dip my feet in the water. And that was during COVID, just before COVID, actually. And through connecting with so many beautiful people at Positive Life New South Wales, I was asked if I'd like to join to be on the board. I put through my application and I was successful and I started being, I am a member now of the board as of January this year.
Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah.
And can you tell me what that experience is like being on the board?
It's been good. I've met a lot of people that have been on the board previously, a few new ones, but the education that I've learned through just being on the board, from being on a board for a start, it's great. And then I'm surrounded by so many men and women who are so well educated, so well equipped with tools that even I need just to go through my everyday life as well. So it's been an awesome experience. It's only been about, 8 months for me, so I'm learning a lot. It's my first year. But just to be a voice for people, especially the heterosexual community, people living with HIV, has been really great.
And talking about HIV knowledge in the heterosexual community, I mean, I suppose with gay men and some other communities where HIV is more prevalent, there can be a lot more discussions about HIV.
Yep.
That maybe doesn't happen so much in the general community. What's your experience been like?
I do agree. I think that with heterosexual people, especially, we're not really, people don't really remind themselves of us. We are a minority, I would say, especially in Australia. I don't think there's a lot of support for heterosexual people as well. So there's not a lot of people talking about HIV in the community and also the stigma that comes with it. It's an old myth that, you know, back in the day, HIV was a gay man's disease. It's no longer. It's, you know, you've got people of color, people living in the regional community, all diverse group of people now that have HIV, but it's not, I feel like it's not really spoken about as much in the heterosexual community.
Through your work with the Positive Speakers Bureau,
yes,
and on the board of Positive Life as well,
yes,
what are your priorities for the heterosexual community in particular, for HIV support and advocacy?
Yeah, just for people in the HIV, in the heterosexual HIV community, to know that there is support and that you're not alone. Mm-hmm. There's people like me that are just normal human beings that are ready to connect with people. I don't work at Positive Life New South Wales, but I'm on the board, and I'm also a member, so I have lived experience. Just for them to know that there are people out there like Positive Life New South Wales that is ready to support them, that has education as well, but also to spread the word about you equals you. I don't think it's something that the heterosexual community are well versed on. I must say, I'll speak for myself as well, I didn't know about you equals you until maybe about 4 years ago as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great to have something like that, but without the education on what it means, it's really nothing. We need actually proper education on what it really means.
Yeah. So just talking about U equals U, could you explain what U equals U is and what it's meant for you personally?
Absolutely. When I found out about U equals U, it kind of changed my perspective about HIV, to be honest with you. As a heterosexual woman, I didn't even know that U equals U existed, to be honest. I only knew about U equals U about 4 years ago, and that was because I'd gone on a retreat with HIV people, and they started talking about U equals U, and I was really keen to know what it meant, and somebody said, oh, didn't you know it means X. So it really means U equals U is undetectable, equals untransmissible. So if you have an undetectable viral load, it means you will not transmit, you will not transmit HIV. Mm. So yeah, that's what it means. And I think, like I said before, it's great to have this program, but I think it needs to be, there needs to be more education on it for people like people in the rural community, people that are kids in schools, heterosexual women and men, about U equals U, because I think it's more prevalent in our LGBTQI plus community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I suppose in the gay men community, you know, there's a lot of discussions about PrEP and U,
yes,
equals U, and using these as tools for HIV prevention, but also for people living with HIV,
yes,
as well. So what has this meant for you personally, and how can we get the message out there more to help reduce stigma?
Yeah, U equals U is a great message, but like I said, without the education on what that really means, it doesn't really mean anything.
Through some of the people that I talk to, like, you know, U equals U can be seen as a bit of a clinical term, rather than more of a community term that people engage with. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts around that?
I think so too. I think it is more of a medical term. It's not something that you just, I've never really just bumped into somebody that is HIV positive that just tells me about U equals U. Like I said, I don't see it anywhere. There's no posters about it. Back in the day in Australia, you had an ad called the Grim Reaper ad about HIV. I've heard about this ad. I've never personally seen it. I wish there were ads about what U equals U means, and maybe then we'd have less stigma out there.
What has some of the more effective messaging been?
I think for me, a younger woman like myself, it's all through social media. Stories of people, especially couples for me, that have, you know, lived a long life, had children, stories of people that have made really good impacts in the world as well, and people that are just real people. You hear a lot of nurses and doctors can go, you know, on and on about all this beautiful education that they have, and that's great, but when I see stories of real people like myself, I totally connect to that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people would connect to, you know, a real, real person versus just a medical professional.
PrEP has had a massive impact on gay men and other men who have sex with men. Has it had an effect on HIV-related stigma within the heterosexual community in your experience? And is there much knowledge about it?
I also only knew about PrEP fairly recently. Okay. I must say, I don't see a lot of education on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in my opinion, I think it's something that's more promoted, let's say, inner west or inner CBD Sydney,
mm-hmm,
or amongst our LGBTQIA brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's something that heterosexual people are well versed on. At least I'm not. I now know what PrEP is, just being on the board and speaking to more people at Positive Life. It's not something I've ever used.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just don't think it's well explained again what it is.
What more can be done to eliminate stigma, both in the community and in healthcare settings?
I think for me, I would say that it's more education that's needed. That goes down to schools as well, with health and healthcare. I'd like to see more advertising for people like myself, heterosexual people, people of minority groups maybe as well, you know, women, people of color, people from overseas and so on. So I'd like to see that more promoted. I remember when I was on my first visits to my specialist in the city, I looked around in the specialist room that I was sitting in, and everything around me was adverts for the gay and lesbian community. There was yoga, there was support groups, and I was like, well, where do I fit in this chain? I just thought that, you know, something like that needs to change, where people like me would walk into a doctor's surgery first week of being diagnosed and look around like, look, I can see a lady on that board, she looks like me, she's African like me, or I can see a couple, a heterosexual couple. That would be something that I would like to see. So more education, more advertising of the U equals U, more advertising of PrEP, and more for more people to make people like myself aware that there is support out there.
Can you tell me more about the support groups that you belong to and the community that you found?
Absolutely. So through Positive Life New South Wales, I joined a women's group, a really lovely women's group. It's the under 45s. And then there's also a group where we come together as heterosexual people. So I've joined that group as well. We meet as a group of heterosexual people for dinner once a month. We have Zoom sessions. We've gone away on a retreat as well. And I've met some really lovely people, both heterosexual and homosexual, through Positive Life New South Wales. And it's just meant that I have a little community. I mentioned before that, you know, for the first 5 years of my diagnosis, it was just me, my family and friends. But and it's great to have that support, but they don't really know what you feel like when you change your medication or when you're feeling down, down and out about having HIV. So just now that I have this really lovely group of people living with HIV as my community, I just feel like I found my people.
Are there any other ways that HIV has impacted your life?
I've been asked this before, and I don't have a dramatic story. I will say that it's impacted my life for the better. I feel like I'm connecting with more people. I'm more open now. I used to be very sheltered with telling people about my status, but now I've kind of embraced it, and that's with the help of people that I've met in my community, my HIV community. It's not changed my life in a really dramatic way. I think the only way that it's really impacted me is through relationships. Dating men for me that are uneducated in regards to HIV, it's been hurtful at times, I'm not gonna lie. But it also begins to be a little bit draining when you've met someone and you find yourself educating them for an hour about what HIV is. It takes the fun out of having a relationship. And I suppose that's kind of our role, I suppose, to educate people. But I think that's the only time I've really felt like I'm different, you know, that discrimination or stigma that comes out. But I've been also really lucky to be interacting with people that are educated, and I've been in really beautiful relationships as well.
What are some of the most common questions you get asked?
Do we want to know negative or positive? I'd say maybe in relationships it's will I get HIV if we slept together? When did I get it? Who did I get it from? And it's all really irrelevant questions when you're trying to get to know somebody. I must say I have experienced a doctor asking me how I got it, and I feel like, you know, if I was a gay man, would you be asking me that? Is it because I'm a heterosexual woman, I automatically have to be asked that question? I remember getting asked that when I was going in for a certain procedure, which had absolutely nothing to do with my HIV. And the doctor was a bit cheeky and just said, oh, how did you get it? But because she was somebody in power, I thought I just needed to answer that. But looking back, I didn't really need to. I probably should have said no. And I have had a situation before where I have been asked after that, and I said, oh, you know, I've come in for X, can we just get on with it? She was kind of taken back by my approach, but I just didn't feel like it was relevant to ask me, because again, if a gay man walked in, you wouldn't think twice, you wouldn't ask him. But because I'm a heterosexual woman, it's almost like it was free reign to ask me.
And I guess in that situation it's invasive and absolutely, it's not relevant to the consultations.
Absolutely. And doctors seem to think maybe that we don't have a voice, so we just have to tell them, because like I said, we're in their doctor's surgery. But no, that needs to change. We absolutely can tell them if we want to. It shouldn't be. It's a choice.
Thank you very much for being on the podcast today, Mel.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me, and I hope that I've inspired at least one person that's been listening.
You've been listening to the Sydney Sexual Health Centre podcast, where I've been speaking with Mel about her experience of being diagnosed with HIV as a heterosexual woman living in Western Sydney. To stay up to date with the latest information in sexual health, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The links are in the description. And if you like the podcast, please share and subscribe.